One thing about it is either we can throw that thing away and not send it out, and if I miss, I'll miss looking for Christ. Better than missing other places, isn't it?
Right.
Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7. Verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God shown to me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive. This is Amos talking. O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom, pay attention to these things now, by whom shall Jacob arise? Or by whom shall Jacob stand? For he is small. And the Lord repented. He turned from that plague, that judgment. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, verse 4, thus hath the Lord God shown to me another vision, another judgment. And behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured up the great deep, or the oceans, and did eat up a part of them. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob stand? By whom shall Jacob stand? For he is small. And the Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of, hear this real well now, my people, Israel. And I will not again pass by them anymore. This is the final offer, so to speak. This is it. I will not pass by another sin. Remember that. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. I made a plumb line. This is where I started thinking about this. I made a plumb line out here a few weeks ago, putting that bed in place, flower bed. And I thought, I remembered, and I have no idea what the message was about. I was just a kid, but I remembered that a message you preached on a plumb line, this, out of here. So I started studying. So this is where it came from. But anyway, twice it's asked here. I pointed it out two times, verse 2 and verse 5. By whom, or how, by whom and how shall Jacob stand? Who do you ask? Who's going to stand? Jacob. Who's Jacob? Jacob's you and I, right? It's us, Jacob. We're worms. You know, old Jacobs. That Bible refers to that time and time again. Compares us to Jacob. For I'm small. I'm unable. And I can attest with Jacob. I'm unable, Lord, to stand on my own. How can I stand? Can't stand. Well, most of the folks said that this was a law. This was comparing, this plumb line and wall was a comparing. You got God standing on a wall here. Get the picture now. You got God standing on, in this vision Amos has, got God standing on the wall with a plumb line in his hand. He's holding the plumb line. Well, is it the law? Is the plumb line the law? I don't. It's not for me. I can't build my hope. If my hope is on this plumb line, I can't build my hope there. Can we build our hope on the law? Why can't we, the very first stone's off in? The scripture says, in sin my mother conceived me. So the very foundation, this is the law, the very foundation is off to start with. I got no hope. It says, I come forth from the womb speaking lies. I don't think it can be the law. What about my deeds? What about my works and my good deeds compared to this plumb line? Is it that? No, it's not. Can't, my fellow man. How about me in comparison to my fellow man? Not me. Look over at Psalm chapter 20. There's going to be a lot of scripture this morning, so bear with me. That's what happens when you don't get any help from commentators. You got to find it all yourself. Psalm 20. Is my help in myself or my fellow man? What's David say here? Some trust in chariots and in some in horses. That's man-made objects, isn't it? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. What's that say there? But we are risen up and stand upright. How shall Jacob stand? David's got something here, hadn't he? Can't stand in men. He just said it. Can't stand in horses or chariots or armies. Got to be something else in it. How shall we stand? I'm going to give you two parallel scriptures. In my mind, they're parallel. Look over at Genesis chapter 28. I'm about a wall and a plumb line with God at the top. Before we get started, we've got to figure out what this plumb line is. It's where we're headed right now. What's the plumb line? Genesis 28. Verse 12. About Jacob here. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abram, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it and to thy seed. Now we know what the ladder is, Christ's access for us to God in it. That's Christ. We know that. We've heard that often, haven't we? So that's one parallel. Now look over at Acts 17:31. Acts chapter 17, 31. This is God here. Because he, God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in justice or in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. I think Christ is the plumb line. I think he's the standard God has set up to do all things. God holds the line. That's his son. He holds the line. Everything. Now think about this. The Christ is the standard. How do I stand in Christ? How am I going to stand in Christ? In his image. See, I think everything. Believers are built up. Unbelievers are torn down. The church, I'm talking about this wall now. The church either rises or religion falls. Humankind rises or falls. Everything is in comparison to this plumb line. That's the standard for everything. That's why we preach Christ here, isn't it? Because Christ is the standard. Everything. It has to do with man. Christ is the standard. He's the plumb line. How shall Jacob stand? Look over at Romans 8. Here's how I stand. Here's how this wall's built. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. This wall is me. The plumb line is Christ. I'm built in his image. All the way from start to finish. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, as before God started this wall, and as is the heavenly, such are they. No, I'm sorry. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Block by block, piece by piece. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Behold, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the image from glory to glory. More and more is what that means. More and more. Each passing day. More and more, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How shall I stand? My only stand is in the image of Christ. My hope is in everything that's in that plumb line. So let's look. Just very simple. What's a plumb line? Now, you know, Amos was a herdsman. So, God, I'm more like an Amos. Nowhere around an Isaiah or an Ezekiel. God gave them, those were very, very intelligent men. And so the visions they had, I probably won't ever understand. But he gave Amos a plumb line, a simple thing. So what's a plumb line? If the plumb line is Christ, what's a plumb line used for? Well, it's used in building. Second point would be it's used to test what's built. And then the third point is this, it's used in demolition. So let's look at the plumb line. Number one, it's used in building. If a building is built right, you're going to have to use a plumb line, aren't you? Now, we use levels now, same thing. But then it's just a plumb line. If you're going to build a straight wall, you're going to have to use a plumb line. But God uses a plumb line. He uses His plumb line in everything He builds. That's what I just said in it. Everything stands in comparison to this line. Look over at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. This is the plumb line here. This is Christ. And He is the head of the church, head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him, should all fullness dwell. Fullness means everything, all grace, all righteousness, all things spiritual, all things earthly, everything is in Christ. That's why we don't waste our time preaching anything but Christ. Amen. All things are in Christ. So God builds everything in Christ. And it begins with nature, doesn't it? Right there in verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, the invisible, the visible, the invisible, thrones, dominions, as governments, everything. The last four or five words, all things were created by Him, for Him. Matthew chapter 2, the stars revealed him at the birth, and it led the wise men to him. John chapter 2, he turned the water into wine. Chapter 14, he stilled the storm. See where I'm going? All things reverence Christ. The unbroken ass obeyed him, didn't he? The fish obeyed him. They jumped in the nets. All of nature God created for Christ, for his plumb line. That's the standard. Look at Psalm chapter 98. Verse 7, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and all that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Righteous shall he judge the world and the people with equity. All of nature, God has set forth to honor that Son. And then in spiritual matters, in dealing with souls, Christ, he's the standard. He's the pattern. He's the test. He's the plumb line. What's the question that you hear over and over, not just from here, but I've heard other preachers say it. What are you going to do with Christ? Have you heard it? Men will present Christ and they'll say, "Here, what are you going to do with Christ?" That's our question then. What are you going to do with it? He's your hope. That's all I got for you. What are you going to do with him? You know, I said right just a few minutes ago to start, our foundation's off. It's out. God's not going to build anything on our foundation. This whole thing at Amos, those nine verses, it's about tearing out, building up, tearing out, building up, and then completely destroying. God's not going to use your foundation. All of our natural inklings have got to come down. They got to be torn out. Whatever good we think of ourselves has got to go. God said, I can't, if he spoke, he said, I can't use these things that man's made thinking that he's honoring me by the building of it. I can't use it. He said, where's my plumb line? Where's my plumb line? Where's my son? He honors me supremely. Did Scripture tell us that? He honors me supremely. He will be my standard. Men are going to build on my son or I'm going to destroy him. Man's going to be abased. He's got to be humbled. Christ is going to be the Savior. If he's going to be, your Savior, he's got to be a complete, say, only Savior, complete Savior, start to finish. So man's foundation isn't usable, is it? It's not square. It's what I said. It's not. It's off at the very start. You get it off at the start, the whole thing's off. You spend a lifetime trying to straighten up. A roof in a building this week, and somewhere between that first block and where I am right now, the roof is off, and I have had fits trying to square that thing up and make it look right. And I keep saying, Rick, nobody's going to see it unless they fly over the thing, but I know it, and I can't stand it. It's not square. So once your merits are pulled out and all your goods are pulled out and down, the Lord begins the wall. He starts the wall. And here's the first stone. What do you think that would be? Simple, childlike faith in this plumb line. In Christ. That's where it starts. Just where those little ones back there. It's so simple that they can understand. My hope is right here in Christ. This is where my hope is. Faith in what he's done. We're celebrating this day. Most folks don't even know what they're celebrating. It's got to have sure and confident faith in that he's arisen. What's that mean? That God's satisfied. You got to have faith in that. When man saves a man, that's a fleeting faith. That's why folks will start church and end church so often. Right. Man saves man. Man saves a woman. And that's a fleeting faith. No value. When God works, when He really does the work in that heart, building that wall, it's true faith. He only builds with good stuff. So it's going to be true faith when He builds the wall, not a fleeting faith. It may be a little faith, and folks may go a lifetime with just that light of faith that they've had, but it's all they need. That light of faith, that little glimpse of faith, will grow like a mustard seed. And then comes repentance. Here's the next block, repentance. You know, so much repentance is just false, superficial. Or there's no repentance at all. None at all. I mean, you talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, there's either a superficial repentance, or in some areas, that's not even that. Even a fake repentance is not even necessary. Just sort of a change of mind for a little while. That's what they think. But repentance, true repentance, is a change of attitude, a change of direction, isn't it? Completely. 360. That's 180. 180. Mass a little off. Why I use a plumb line? Why is it true repentance? Because you're looking, faith gives you the eyes to see that offended plumb line, doesn't it? It's right beside you. I've offended that plumb line. And the two go hand in hand, faith and repentance. They go together. You repent over the past. You're sorrowful for the past. That's a must. You've got what I did back here is so wrong. And I am so sorry. So you repent over the past. But then faith, that other eye, repentance here and faith here, that other eye sees all that past washed away. They go together. And it's a lifetime of that. And then God, you know, block by block, God continues to build the wall. But it's always along that plumb line. Scripture says, as you have received Christ, what's it say? Forget it from this point. As you have received Christ at the bottom of the plumb line here, as you have received Him, continue in Him, right? Continue to live your lives in Him. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in yourself? No, in that plumb line, in Him. That's your pattern. Built up in Him. Now think of this. All of God's building tends toward holiness, doesn't it? Leave this out a lot of times. All of God's building, all the way from start to finish, tends toward holiness, toward being careful. I was just saying, I can't stand the thoughts of somebody seeing my crooked roof over there. A believer can't stand the thoughts of somebody seeing him sin. Drives you crazy, don't it? Bothers you. God's building tends toward carefulness. We don't just say we commit to Christ here and then just live however we want to live. There's a life we live to Christ. It tends toward a gracious and a kind spirit. It seeks after the glory of God. Why does it seek after? Why are we jealous for God? Because the plumb line was jealous for God. Right? I came to do thy will, O God. Well, should the wall be any different? Absolutely not. And then the final use of the plumb line. One day when our souls are modeled completely and perfectly after Christ, the wall's finished. We'll be at the top of the wall. God's holding it, the line at the wall, and that's where we'll be finished. Look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. One day the wall will be perfected, but it's still being Christ. Still being Christ. And here's the second point. Plumb line is used for testing what's built. I said before, God holds that line. One way that his wall is going to be built. We test ourselves, and we test others, we test other beliefs, we test other religions, we test our religion based on this one wall, this one plumb line. It's the only way the wall is going to be built. That's how we test everything concerning it. Is it running parallel with this plumb line? So like those Bereans in Acts. They said the Bereans, they received it. They received what they found out about Christ joyfully, didn't they? They received him joyfully, and they studied every day to see if what those guys were telling them were true. They compared every day to see everything around them. Is it built on this plumb line? Is what we heard about Christ true? And how are others stacking up? That's what we do. We don't tell. Nobody ever has stood here and demanded you believe them, have they? Nobody. All we've ever asked is you hear what we say, take these references that we give you, and study yourself. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, I think it's all in Christ. You know, a plumb line can be used. You can use a plumb line horizontally too, can't you? Use those check rafter tires, truss tails when you put up a building. That's one thing you use it that way. You put one on one end and one on the other end. And everything that don't meet that line has got to be cut off. Move forward. It's got to be adjusted. So imagine that. Imagine a plumb line like this now. We as believers, if you're a true believer, you're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. You're going to be. Now, a building out here may look straight. You can lay a line of rafters. This building is 100 feet long. You can lay a line of rafters and the tails be set over. And it, to the naked eye, looks pretty straight, don't it? That's why you use a line. You stick the line up, and man, you say, it didn't look like that before. For the human eye, we can be deceived. We can be deceived with ourselves. We can be deceived with one another. We can be deceived with other religions. Until we put the plumb line of Christ on it. And that's the tell-all, isn't it? Do we stack up to Christ? Well, if the plumb line is Christ, how do we test that building? How do I see if I measure up? Right here. We compare this word to the word. So here's some rafter tails for you. Here's some walls may need trimming. Number one, self-righteousness. Person thinks they're okay. Doesn't do a whole lot wrong. Doesn't do much wrong at all, usually. Most every day's a good day, isn't it? Fairly religious. Don't miss a whole lot of church, if at all. Keeps most of the law, best he can. So he looks back, he says, you know, this is a good wall I've got here. I built a good straight wall. Well, is it? Is it a good wall? Well, what's the word say? Well, the word says this: if any man will be saved by his own works, he must keep the law. And he must keep the law of God perfectly. For he who is guilty of one breach of that law, one mistake, one miss, he is guilty of that. He's guilty of all of them. Not just those 10, everything that we hear about. Everything. He's guilty of all of them, breaking them all. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, that's what the word says about your self-righteousness, about your law building. But it don't stack up, does it? We know the plumb line's good and straight. Christ kept the law perfectly. Now, how did I stack up? Well, I just read to you how you stack up. You don't stack up. You don't. So how about the building now? It's off, isn't it? There's one rafter tail right there. The first one we come to has got to be trimmed off. We're already in a mess. Cut it off. Don't meet the line. Here's another one. Let's look at this one. Another person said, well, I'm doing my best for Jesus. I am. I'm doing my best for Jesus. And he'll make up the difference. He'll make up. I know I don't keep up with the law like this, but I do my best to keep the law. And I think Jesus will make up the difference in the end. Well, that sounds a little better, don't it? Because at least you've included Jesus, hadn't you? You've included him now. Well, what's the word say? That's the rule, isn't it? What's the word say? Well, one thing, very simple, it says Christ is all. So that it doesn't say Christ and bread are all. It said Christ is all. So what about, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's check this one out before we cut it. It may work. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Uh-oh. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to have to trim another tail. Trim another one. That one's off too. Now then you got this one. Man's dependence on church and ceremonies and religion and... What about that one? Well, that's a pretty good wall. It's good to go to church. When wrong with going to church, it's a good thing. Well, yeah, but what's the word say? I'm a little nervous about what this is going to be, aren't you? We already had to cut two of our first two off. Well, it says this, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, in other words, to live like Christ is going better than going to church and acting like you live like Christ. That's what he's saying. And to sacrifice and to hearken better than the fat of rams. So in other words, you're going to come before God with your good deeds. Cain. What Cain did, isn't it? What's the Holy God commanded you to do? What's the word say? He says, come before me in that same passage. He says, I want people who come before me with a broken and contrite heart. Broken over sin. And the most important thing is when you come, you got to come through the merits of this plumb line. That's how you're going to come to me. This is the standard. This is established. We're not going to break this standard. This is how you come. Well, there's another one gone. I could go on all day, but here's the bottom line. This building is going to be built. You're going to be built if you're a believer along this plumb line. And this isn't progressive sanctification, is it? I thought about this. We will progress, but who's in all this stuff I'm talking about, who's doing the progressing? It's God at the top of that wall. He's doing the progressing, isn't he? He trims and trims and trims till he gets us on that line. Trials, afflictions, burdens, tears, everything. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. In other words, rejoice. You're going right along the line. Right along the line. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just flip there and read it to you. 2 Corinthians 1, 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so you shall also be partakers of the consolation. In the final test of the building with the plumb line, imagine standing before the judge. Imagine this. You step up there in glory one day. You approach. The judge says, approach the bench. He calls each of our names. Approach the bench. Let's see how you measure up, how you're going to stand up to the standard. What would you say? You know, Paul Mahan mentioned that in one of his... And I thought about that a lot. What would you tell God if God were to ask you, what was it, how you merited heaven? I may have the exact thing. But God were to ask you, standing before Him, how'd you merit being here? What would you say? You know, a lot of folks would start rattling off a list of things, hoping. I hope I wouldn't say anything. I hope somebody would speak for me. But if I had to say, just imagine that I had to say something, here's what I'd hope to say. I'd hope to say this. Say, Father, there's not a thing good in me at all. Not a single thing in me that's good. My hope is fixed on this plumb line. Christ alone. That's my hope. And I'm not what I want would have been. And I'm not wanted to. And we never, none of us will be. I'm not what I wanted to be before I got here. But here I am. And I'm this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, resting in His merits. That's what I'd hope to say. But I would rather somebody say it for me. Wouldn't you? All right, then this, real quickly, thirdly, this plumb line is used in destruction and demolition. Verse 9. Back over to Amos. Amos chapter 7, verse 9. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise up, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. The latter part of verse 8, he said, I will not again pass by them anymore. This is it. I said a while ago, this is my plumb line. This is my standard. If you don't turn at this plumb line, I've been merciful twice already, but I've sent you my son now. And there is no more mercy outside of ignoring this plumb line. Judgment's going to be according to this plumb line. It will be. There ain't not a person to get this, and I'll promise you this, there's not one person that'll be sent to hell who doesn't deserve to be there. And I'll guarantee you this, if you can prove, Steve, if you can prove before a holy God that you don't deserve to be there, you can prove it, He won't put you there. You think He would? He won't. If you can bring something before Him that can prove, look, I don't deserve this, I'm better than this, because He's a just God, so He won't put you there. Here's what hell is, though. And this is what it's going to be. You know, you hear folks, I think, here's what I think will be some of the cries in hell. I am, and I was wrong, and now I can never be right. But I was wrong. You're going to admit your guilt over and over and over. And then you're going to admit this. I did not then, nor do I want to be now right. I don't think in hell you're going to want to say, I wish I could have a second. I want to be right. I don't think so. I didn't want to be right then. I don't want to be right now. I don't like this torment, but I don't want to be right. I made evil good and good evil. And I think this will be the biggest thing. I hated and I disdained, and I still do, a righteous plumb line. I think you'll say that over and over and over. You know, you often hear, what about those souls in hell that never heard the gospel? I don't know. I don't know about that. This I do know, that God is just and He will do right. There won't be one torment in hell more than that person deserves. Not one. He will not overpunish the first person. They'll only reap what they've sown and what they deserve. Look at Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 47, 48. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. You know what he's saying there? That I knew what my master wanted and I didn't do it. I'm going to be beaten many times. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of those same stripes shall be beaten with fewer stripes. He didn't know. He didn't know. He did the same thing, but he didn't know there was a difference. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So that brings us to the plumb point of this last thing, the plumb line used in destruction. Your walls sometimes are taken down using a plumb line. Take them down to a certain point. All the way down, you may not, or to a certain point. Wherever it gets off is where you take a wall down. In the day of judgment, in hell, there will be a difference made between some wicked and other wicked. Now what I'm saying is this, all hell is not the same hell. You know, you heard that all your life, Steve. There are degrees of hell. Well, there are. And I got a lot of scripture showing you that. But this, I want to show you a couple of them. Revelation 20:12. And then we'll go to Matthew. Revelation 20, verse 12 says this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. What's that say there at the last? According to their works. Matthew 11, verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works, this is Christ being there now, this is Christ right in the middle of them. The mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it is more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So I think the scriptures clearly teach that there's going to be degrees of hell, don't you? So let's go there. We don't want to go to any part of it, do we? Let's imagine we're there. Here's the murderers, the rapists, the child molesters, those that we despise. And they're probably there with those sodomites. And those in Gomorrah, and those other cities. There they are. There they are. They're in agony. But they're at the first level. There's another level. What about the self-righteous? There's a second level here. It's hotter. The self-righteous are there. We'll know some of those. Those who chose works and good deeds and the religious things over Christ. Plumb line was there and you built on something else. You ignored it. But there's a lower one. These folks who sit right here. They ignored the message of Christ. They're at the bottom. The very bottom. You heard Christ, you saw the plumb line sermon after sermon after sermon. And you ignored the plumb line. And yours will be the deepest, darkest, hottest part of hell. I think that's what the Bible's telling us. To whom much is given, much is required. It's a hard sermon. This conclusion is a hard, hard conclusion. But you know why it's hard? Because I think there's going to be a level below that, below those who heard the gospel. I think there's going to be a level of pussyfooting preachers who lied to the people. They knew about the plumb line. And they lied to the people. And they're going to be below that. I really do think. I think there'll be a ton of preachers in hell. I don't want to be one of them. I got to tell the truth. But I beg you. I implore you. Build on this walk. Build on the Word. Build on the Word. Just lay hold on Christ. And beg God. He's holding the line. God holds the line. Beg Him to set you parallel with that plumb line. Right? Block by block, precept by precept, stroke by stroke, the perfect image of that plumb line. And it'll be good for you. It'll be good.